Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Kings and chapter number 12. 2 Kings and chapter number 12. Now we'll turn back a little bit to Chronicles because this is one of those places that a lot of times as you're studying 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, that Chronicles can add a little more to it. So we'll be turning a little bit to 2 Chronicles 24 in a minute too. But let me read in chapter number 12 of 2 Kings and read that first two verses. And if you have an old Schofield, it's on about 436. But let me read that first two verses. In the seventh year of Jehu, king of Israel, Jehoash, and of course also sometimes it's mentioned Joash, began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, king of Judah. And his mother's name was Ziba of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada, now that's his uncle who is the high priest, the priest instructed him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this opportunity. We do pray for our nation. We pray for those around the world. We pray for Israel. Lord, we just pray that people would see the need of coming to you and knowing you as their Savior, and all of the bitterness and the murder and all that's going around us. Pray that they'll see the difference. They need the Savior. Pray that you'll be with us this morning as we look into thy word. Pray the Holy Spirit of God have his will and way with each one of us. For we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, Joash or Jehoash, and of course you're going to see as you go through, there's several of the names that are just like this. Some places you see it's Joash, and other places you'll see it Jehoash. They're speaking of the same man here, and this is the king of the southern kingdom at this time. If you remember last week, he was just a young fellow, and of course, how that he was saved by one, and of course, he was the last one that was in the family coming from David to reign. So you see how Satan was trying to get rid of this young man, of course, as well as his brothers. Now, in Joash, good king, bad king. 2 Kings 12, verses 1 to 21, and 2 Chronicles 24. Good king and bad king. Good king is 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1 to 16. And then we'll have bad king in chapter 12, verses 12 to 17 to 21, and 2 Chronicles 24, 17 to 22. It'll be bouncing a little bit in that place there, but we'll get through it. Now notice, we once again see the man who was a good king and who ended up a bad king. Good as long as his uncle, Jehoiada, the high priest, lived. But after his death, he began to listen to others and were led astray. He was the youngest king to take the throne. He was 7 years old, if you remember, chapter 11, verse 21. And he reigned for 40 years. That would make him 47 years old when he died. As we look at his life, we see one who we see duplicated many times in the church today. A young person is raised for the Lord, and when he or she gets older, they go on their own way. He seems to be more of a follower than a leader. John Whitcomb tells us that the Lord allowed Jehoiada, the priest, to live to be 130 years old. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 15. He lived a long time. In fact, he lived longer than anyone for about 1,000 years. Now, we know in Genesis there were some 969 years was the oldest that we remember, and of course at that time. But he lived to be 130 years old, something that at that time was kind of, you didn't see that. Now also, was it because he was too dependent upon his uncle? Or did his uncle wait too long to cut the strings, his apron strings, so to speak? Was it because he was a dependent upon his uncle? Now we don't know for sure, but Warren Wiersbe brings this out. He speaks of him as having a shadow faith. This is the problem that we have in raising our children. We want to raise them for the Lord and they'll go on to follow him, But you know, I think one thing that really, and we'll bring this out as we go on, one thing that's so hard is to bring our children to the place that they receive the Lord as their Savior, but that not they're worshiping the Lord through us, but they have their own time, their own personal time with the Lord. You know, that's one thing I think we're missing. And of course, a lot of kids don't notice that. And of course, they need a personal time themselves with it. And that's something that we need to do. Maybe that's what happened here, but we'll mention it more. But, you know, as we look at those two verses, he did right. He did right as long as his uncle lived. We are not told how old he was when his uncle died. We also know his mother's name is Ziba. And, of course, we know nothing else really about her. We don't know if she was alive when, of course, he was saved from being killed by his grandmother. And, of course, she took the throne, if you remember. But you wonder, you know, there was a nurse that took care of him. Maybe that was her, but we don't know for sure. We do not know if she was with him while he was hidden in the temple. Now, you see it all of the time. One who comes to church, lives for the Lord for a while, and when they finally depart. You know, a lot of times that happens with children, but you know, a lot of times you'll see that in marriage. You'll see a couple who are regular in a church, and the spiritual one passes away, and then all at once, the one that's not so spiritual kind of drifts away. Or we raise our children for the Lord, and when out of their on their own, they turn to the world. You always wonder, were they saved or were they just making a profession? Now, I don't have the answer there completely. We'll try to touch some of the bases here. And, of course, only the Lord knows the heart. Today with our children, we are to raise them for the Lord, but when they grow up, they have their own mind and they go on their own and make their own decisions. But we can continually pray for them and continually live the Christian life before them. And then, of course, when they come back, to have an open door to open that, to let them home. But the sign of chastening is a sign, oftentimes, when you see a believer get out of the way of the Lord. And, of course, you're going to see that here, because this man is going to be chastened for what he does and where he goes. You know, the sign of chastening is really a sign in the Christian life. And, of course, in Israel's, we know Israel is God's nation. You know, America is not God's nation. But we do know in the Scripture, he chastens his own. Now, today, very clearly, Hebrews 12, 1 Corinthians 11, as well as also 1 John 5:16, speaks of a sin unto death. And that's speaking about believers, that God will take them home prematurely. Was this man saved or not? And, of course, I don't know. We clearly see the chastening hand of God upon him and, of course, his untimely death. But, you know, we don't know for sure. But it also tells me that we need to continue in our time with the Lord even though someone passes away to go on and serve the Lord. That is one reason I do not go along with so many of the dictators in churches. And I've got something with that. There's a lot of churches that a lot of pastors become a dictator, and they're controlling everything, and the people have to go to the preacher on everything. But, you know, they never come to the place that they have a fellowship with the Lord. And I think that happens to a lot of kids, too. You know, they know the Lord as their Savior, but they haven't got that close fellowship that they need. And a lot of them turn away, but, you know, we can always pray and continue to pray for them and, of course, to live the Christian life before them. And, of course, in a lot of churches, when a preacher more or less tells them everything that they do, they teach the Word of God. But, of course, the fact is we need a close fellowship ourselves. That's something that's missing. And, in fact, in 1 Peter 5, 1-4, Peter speaks about that the flock belongs to the Lord. Maybe sometimes that happens in a family, too. Maybe that's what happened here. He was so young that when he became king, that really his uncle was really telling him what to do. You know, I've always thought that my job is not to just get a following, but to teach the Word of God and to share the Scripture that people might know that they not only have a fellowship as we come together, but they have a fellowship with the Lord. And you know, so many Christians are missing that. And I think that's why sometimes we see a lot of folks fall away. Notice verse 3, "But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places." Now, the mistake here of the king, God ordained a place of worship, and that was the temple. Even the offering of a sacrifice ended up in many times to worship of idols. And that's what, of course, would happen here. He may have thought that it was not so important, but as he began to repair the temple that had been really because of Athaliah, and of course she was the queen there for a while, and she's the one that killed all her grandsons and thought she also killed this little boy, but she didn't. Now notice verse 4 and 5. "And Jehoash said to the priest, all the money, the dedication things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord. Let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house wheresoever any breach shall be found." Now they're to repair the temple. And of course you know that Athaliah brought the Baal worship in, and of course the temple was really not supported, and it was really crumbling as many things that needed to repair. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 7, destruction was caused by Athaliah, and of course there in that verse it also mentions the prince, and of course those were her sons that's mentioned there. Maybe they had a good deal to do with that. Part of the money coming into the temple was to be saved for repair of the temple, and that wasn't being done. But of course, some of it was to support the priest for continually serving the Lord in the temple. In verse 6 in 2 Kings chapter 12, in his 23rd year of reign, the priest had not repaired the temple. In verse 7, the king calls them on the carpet, so to speak. In verse 8, evidently not enough money was coming in the offering being given to the people. But in verse 16, the trespass or sin offering was to be given to the priest. So they work out a better plan, which will be received by the people as well as the priest and the king. Now in 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 9, they place a chest with a hole in the lid for the people to offer a free will offering for the repairs of the temple. In 2 Chronicles 24, verse 9, the people rejoiced and they brought in more than was needed for the repairs. And of course, they replaced some of the vessels. Chapter 24, verse 14. The distributing of the money to the craft people, those who had to make those, of course, was needed, was a joint effort of the king, the scribes, and the high priest. Verse 10. The building was complete, and the vessels were complete, as well as needed projects brought about by the king. Things went along fine until Jehoiada died. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 14 and 16. He was 130 years old, as stated before. And of course, he was so honored that they buried him where the kings were to be buried. Now notice in 2 Chronicles, in chapter number 24 and verse 17, you can turn there or just listen. We won't be there very long, but if you have an old Schofield, it's on about 5, 5:13. But let me read verses 17 through 19 of 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the prince of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. Now this may be tied with Athaliah's sons there, the prince there. It could be them that's leading them astray. And they left the house of the Lord God of their father and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. You know, after the death of the high priest, 2 Chronicles 24, verse 17 through 20, describes the events. And of course, as you look at this, between, and I hate to come into too much of this, but between verses 16 and 17 of 2 Kings 12 is probably where this part of Chronicles comes in. That's why sometimes it's so hard to follow, because you got the northern king, you got the southern kingdom, you also have names that are similar. Sometimes the same king is in the north and in the south, but it's a different person with the same name. Sometimes it's hard to follow. But the prince of Judah began to come to the king, making over him, but must have done to get their way. Now you can tell right there that he hasn't really grown up. The king began to compromise his stand and wound up in trouble with the Lord. They may have said, oh, you need to be a little more versatile. You're just too stiff-necked, too religious. And of course, if this is really the ones mentioned before, the prince that was really Athaliah's sons, we know that they, I'm sure, had something to do along with their mom in bringing in the Baal worship. Those who are godly politicians today find themselves in the same way when those who are more conservative, the liberals, are trying to pull him away to something else. I do not know at what age he was. He may have been in his 20s or 30s, but we just do not know when his uncle passed away. And God's chastened hand was upon them. He first sent the prophets to try to prophets to him, and of course to come to them. And of course, the high priest, Zechariah, the high priest at that time. Now, this was the son of Jehoiada that was now the high priest. And this was also, would be the king's cousin. And his father, of course, had raised the king. And God's chastening hand was upon them. Now, in verse 24, 2 Chronicles 24:20, why do you do the transgression, was asked. You won't profit, and you won't prosper in God by doing this. Now, this is he talking to the king and probably these princes as well. Now, this will lead to a strong chastening hand because they kill the high priest, which is, of course, his cousin, which is his uncle, the king's uncle, that, of course, had taken him. This will lead to strong chastening from the Lord. This will lead, and I am reminded in 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32, if we do not judge ourselves, God will judge us. You know, we read that every time that we take communion. Now, that's where it gets difficult to understand. Is this young man really a believer, or was he just a believer that never grew up? But you can tell that he really has been so young, and his uncle was leading the way, that it makes you wonder. He just hadn't come to the place that he could make a decision and make it right and have that really relationship with the Lord that he needed. And also we see the king, Joash, was more of a follower than a leader. He stays true, a leader. A leader stays true to the word of God. That's one thing, you know, it's one thing in the Bible. It speaks about the qualifications for being a pastor. It speaks of one not being a novice. That means one that's, you know, not grounded in the faith. because you'll find a lot of times you got to stand. And of course, not only that as a king, but you know, each one of us is believers. Do you have that relationship with the Lord yourself? Not just through someone else or through your mom or your dad or someone else, but they may have been the one to lead you to the Lord. But you know, to go to that place where you have that personal fellowship yourself with Him. And I think that's so important. Now, I hope to don't confuse, but 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 17, as we go back. Then Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. And Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. Now Hazael is really, God is using him to chasten the nation of Judah. We remember this man, remember how he killed the king of Syria and took his position. And God is going to use this man to really chasten his people. In 2 Chronicles 24, verse 23, Hazael came against Judah and to destroy it. And he destroyed the prince. It must have been those same men that were mentioned back in before in verse 7. And of course, with a small force, God delivered them. And of course, verse 25, Joash was injured. Now, these could be very clearly the prince there of Athaniah's sons. Look at chapter 12, verse 18 of 2 Kings. And Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the hallowed things that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Amaziah, his father, king of Judah, had dedicated, and his own hallowed things, and all the gold that was found in the treasure of the house of the Lord, and in the king's house, and sent it to Hazael, king of Syria, and he went away from Jerusalem. Well, what he's doing is really taking the money and the gold and all that was in the temple and all that the kingdom had to bribe this man to leave them alone. Now, it shows you once again that he really didn't have much backbone, and of course, to carry things to the end. And a lot of it may have been that his uncle was probably making most of the decisions. But and all in this, much of what had been given during his first half of his life, which he was a good king at that time. And of course, he had repaired the kingdom, the temple. Now look at 2 Kings 12, verse 20. And his servants arose and made a conspiracy and slew Joash in the house of Milo, which goeth down to Selah. Now, he is killed by his own servants. He was surely at this point recovering from the injuries that he had with the battle that he had with the Syrians when they take his life. And 2 Chronicles 24, verse 25, tells us that it was in revenge for the blood of the high priest, Zechariah, which was really his cousin, for him consenting to his death. Could this be the sin unto death of 1 John 5:16? Was that the problem with this man? And I've got to be honest, I don't know. But I do know, not know, but the big question is he truly an Old Testament saint? The end of a man who started out good, but he didn't end up good. You know, the same thing was true of Solomon, if you remember. Solomon started out following the Lord, but he began to love the things that God had forbidden. And of course, that's where he ended up in trouble. And of course, he went away from the Lord. But you know, in conclusion, you think of this. The youngest king to begin to reign was Joash, a man who should have done so much more for the Lord. He had such a good beginning, but he ended up bad. Some have suggested that could this be the one that Ezekiel speaks about in Ezekiel 18, verse 24 to 32, about the righteous who turned from righteousness to iniquity. And God will judge the sins of the righteous who turn to sin and the way of the world. We see one who surely was raised right and in the way of the Lord, for his uncle was a high priest. And of course, he was raised in the temple. He did fine as long as his uncle was there to guide him. But upon his death, the young king followed and led those who were wicked. And of course, it might have been very well the prince there that mentions there that he was yielded to them. We all know of those who were just like this man, who started out right, serving the Lord, and then turned from it. The question is, in my mind, is he really an Old Testament saint? Now, I do not know for sure, but we see many of young folks who bring it up right and follow the Lord. But you know, the peer pressure around us today is much more than it was when we grew up. But once they leave the home, they go out on their own and they make their own decisions. Once they leave, we do not have that influence on them that we once did. Did his uncle take too long to kind of let him begin to make the decisions and following the Lord? When we raise our children, we must always be raising them for the time that they will leave as they grow up, and of course we go off the scene. In churches, some leaders take such a rule of lives of the people that they do not learn to walk on their own and will faint if their spiritual leader is not there to make the decisions for them. Believers need to learn from teachers and preachers. They need to learn the Word of God. But I guess the whole thing I'm trying to get across is really, I may not explain it right, but as we raise our children, to raise them in a way that really to make them that they would accept the Lord, not as only as their Savior, but to have that close fellowship with Him. That's what's missing so much, in my opinion. This young man had not learned that. And of course, I guess his uncle was making all the decisions. You know, in Proverbs 22:6, it speaks of bringing up a child in the way that he should go. There's a lot more in that than just taking him to church. A whole lot more. And of course, there is times I feel like I've failed, and a lot of my children at times. But you know, then there's times there'll be a time, a glimmer of hope that you see in their life. But you know, the whole idea is really to lead people to have that fellowship with the Lord themselves. And of course, I think we're failing sometimes. I am too. But that's, as you think of this man, I can't tell if he's a Christian or not, or an Old Testament saint or not. But you know, we can do our best and raise our children the way we know the Lord would have them to raise, and to try to bring them to that place that he becomes their Lord, not just daddy and mama's Lord, but he belongs and he's my Lord, and have that close fellowship with him. And of course, as I mentioned before, sometimes it happens in a marriage. When one is a spiritual one, and one just goes along but flees the other one. And then of course, when one dies, if the spiritual one dies, the other one may kind of go off. But how we need that personal walk herself, as well as her children. You know, as we come to a close, I don't have all the answers, I assure you. We all have questions. And of course, on the other side, we'll know all the answers. And of course, we often wish, I know that it'd be nice if you had a phone, you could call him. Maybe we wouldn't want to know what he'd say, though, because maybe he'll turn it back on us and we're the ones that's wrong. But you know, how important it is. But you know, in the times we live in, and all, it's so hard. We, in the 60s, I lived up in the 60s, and some of you the 50s there, but you know, it is hard for kids to go forward and to live for the Lord. Some do and some don't. But how I wish I had all the answers there. But you know, as we come to close, we always like to close with the gospel. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Friend, the first thing we got to realize, we're a sinner and that we need a Savior, that we can't do it ourselves. There's only three that could make the payment for our sins. It had to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For everybody else was sinners. It took someone perfect to make that sacrifice for us. And of course we know Jesus went to the cross. He died for our sins. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you come to that place? You realize Christ is your Savior and you've trusted him? Friend, keep on going on in your faith. Keep on going on. Have that close fellowship with him. That's so important. And you know it has so important, you know, as those around us. Every one of us in here, our kids are gone, but you know, they're looking at our life. They're watching us. Are we living for the Lord and serving him? Oh, how we need to ask God's help. Let's all bow our head just for a moment. If you're hearing, maybe God's speaking to your heart about something. If I can help you and pray with you, I'd love to do that. But just for a few seconds, if you feel like coming forward, I'd love to talk to you or help you in any way I can. But just spend a few moments with the Lord, and then we'll close in prayer.